chapter 40. Do you have to look at the outline to figure that out, or do you know that? Chapter 40, nearing the end. This week and two more, and we'll be through with the book of Job. And John, she doesn't like our sermons. In a way, it seemed like a long time, but in a way, it's all of a sudden you turn around and here we are. Job, if you remember, where we're kind of at the background of where we're at, Job has finally got what he's been wanting for about 30 chapters, and that's to face God. And now he's got his chance. God is talking to Job. We saw that in chapter 38 and 39. And God briefly finishes up, or pauses, I guess you could say, what he's saying to Job here in chapter 40. You see on your outline, if you have one, I hope you can find one. If you don't, we're going to look at 4 points. And we're going to kind of hone in on a couple of them at the risk of chasing a rabbit, but we'll see how it goes. Begin in verses 1 and 2. Let's read those two verses. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it." First point that I want to make, and this is on your outline, is sometimes our choices are one. O-N-E. Sometimes our choices are one. God has been talking to Job, and in chapter 38, I think there was 36 questions that God asked Job. Rhetorical questions that had an expected answer and that had the effect, we will see, of sort of calling Job up short. In chapter 39 that John looked at last week, there were, I think, about 20 or so questions in that chapter. The same thing happened in that chapter. And here we get to chapter 40, and God asked Job one last question, at least up to this point. He says, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" Who is the one who contends with the Almighty? Job. Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Who is him? The Almighty, or God. So he asks the question. Will the one who contends, wants to contend with me, correct me? And he goes on to say, "He who rebukes God, let him answer it." Now, I've made the point on number one there, sometimes our choices are one. And I think Job is at the place where he has to answer. I'll tell you a story, and I don't know if I can tell this the way I want to tell it, but I don't want to risk someone that the story is about. They probably never would listen to our messages online, but in case they do, I don't want them to know I'm telling the story. So I'm going to say it in a generic way. But once there was a family, and it was a dad and a mom and a teenager. The teenager was the youngest of the children in the family. They're going to a larger city to see one of their other children. And they had directions on how to get there. They'd never been there before. And they get to the town and trying to find their way. And they can't follow the directions and get where they're going. They just can't find the street. And you know how dads are. God forbid that he would stop and ask for help or ask directions. So they wind around and go back and forth and wind around some more and go back and forth some more until it's starting to get dark. And now it's even harder to see street signs, etc. and dad's getting frustrated, and mom's getting frustrated, and mouthy teenager is getting frustrated as well. And so mouthy teenager says, "Why don't you just stop and yell?" The brakes went on. The car promptly stopped, and dad said, "Get out and yell." Now, I don't know that this is the best way to handle a mouthy teenager, but this, I'm just telling the story, okay? Mouthy teenager knew at that point they had no choice. Okay, no matter, and it's funny knowing the people involved, no matter how foolish they may look, no matter how useless this would be, the car came screeching to a halt in the middle of a street, and mouthy teenager had to get out and yell. Mouthy teenager said, "What do I say? Just call their name?" Dad didn't really care. He was just going to get some yelling out of mouthy teenager. Okay, now as ridiculous as that may seem, and I don't think that there is a relation with God's approach to Job here in that God is frustrated or that God is angry or God is mad. The similarity is that just as that teenager had no choice, have you ever been disciplined by your parents and they tell you to do something and you don't even consider a choice? You don't even consider whether or not you will do what they say. Circumstances are such that you know I'm doing it. Okay, it's not even hard to do because you have no choice. You know, I have been in that situation with my dad a lot, with God a time or two or three, where God was dealing with me about my life, about my sin, and God required of me something humiliating, something that you might would think would be terribly hard to do, but in that instance, I had no choice. It was not hard because I had no alternative. The revelation of God was so penetrating that it's something you just do. And I think that's where Job is at. God says, "Answer me." Job has to speak. Job has to say something. Job's choices are one.